Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. And we'll go right to Rick with the final part of a message called Developing Self-Control.
Proverbs 22, 24. Let's read it together. Keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them. Now, you know what this verse is saying? It's saying that anger is contagious. Now, think that through. It is, isn't it? When people are getting angry at you and shouting in your face, isn't it easy to catch it? You know, if I got in your face and I started yelling at you, you would probably start getting angry back because anger is contagious. And when somebody else gets loud, you get loud too. And we see this happen all the time in families. Dad comes home, he's stressed out, and he yells at mom. Mom turns around and then just transfers it onto big brother and says, you know, go do this. And big brother turns around, he gets angry at little sister. Little sister goes out and she kicks the dog. The dog comes in and bites the baby on the floor. The baby bites the head off the Barbie doll. And the cycle is repeated round and round and round. You know, we just pass it on. Anger is contagious. Now, what I want you to notice, though, in this verse is circle the word learn. Because the Bible says, keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them. Now, here's a very important point. How you expressed your anger is a learned behavior. It didn't just come natural. Oh, no, you learn to be a pouter. You learn to be a manipulator. You learn to be an exploder. Whether you're the mute or the martyr or the maniac, somebody modeled it for you. You may have seen it on TV. You may have seen it in college. You may have seen it from kids on the playground. You may have seen it from your parents. You may have seen it from brothers and sisters. But all those inappropriate ways of anger that you've dealt with all these years, guess what? You learned them. You learned every one of them. Now, here's the good news. Since that inappropriate anger is learned, it can be absolutely. It can be unlearned. And you don't have to go the rest of your life being sarcastic or a pouter or a maniac or a mute or a martyr or any of those other things. You can learn to express anger appropriately. That's your choice. And not only that, God says, I'll give you the power to do it. And you can change. And if there's anything I want to say tonight, it's this. You don't have to stay the same. And maybe you grew up in a home where anger was focused on you in a very inappropriate way, and it hurt a lot. And I would say to you, you don't have to do that to your kids. You don't have to do that to your husband, your wife, or your friends. That you can change with God's help. If I'll take these steps, I resolve to control it, realize the cost, I start restraining my mouth with God's help, I reflect before reacting, and I learn to release my anger in appropriate ways, I confess it, admit it, admit the reasons behind it. You see, anytime I lose my temper, it bothers me because I know that I'm modeling for my kids an inappropriate way of dealing with life. And we hear all the time about how people pick up things from others. You know, we hear about these copycat crimes where people have seen some kind of inappropriate behavior on TV and then they go out and do it. Well, if you can do that with television, you can certainly do it in a home and anywhere else. And television is not exactly a good place to learn how to deal with anger. It says use a gun, blow somebody away, cuss at them, flip them off, you know, tell them off. Sabotage your career or whatever. The sixth key to dealing with anger, the Bible says, is to return good for evil. Return good for evil. In other words, never let other people control you by choosing to react to them. Booker T. Washington once said, I will never let another man control my life by making me hate him. When you say you make me mad, you're allowing that, you're admitting they control me. They have the power to control my emotions. The Bible says the way you show that you're in control of a situation is by returning good for evil. Oh, it's easy to retaliate, but when you get even, you're on the same level as them. But when you respond with good, it actually puts you in a superior position. Now notice the verse here in Romans 12. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. Overcome evil with good. Now God says you got one of two choices here. He says, you know, you're going to be hurt in life. You're going to be disappointed. And people are going to do bad things to you. You can either spend all your time retaliating, trying to get even, or you can let me, God, settle the score. Because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God is a just God, and he is going to settle the score for the injustice in life. Not just here, but in eternity. Now, when somebody's hurt you, who can do a better job of settling the score? You or God? Who has more resources at their disposal? You or God? Well, God does. So God says, let me handle that. Instead, I want you to respond by overcoming evil with good. Tonight, I want you to hear Gary's story. It's how he's been trying to learn and apply this principle and the principle of anger control in his profession as a policeman. Would you give him a warm welcome?
I'd like to share with you how knowing Christ has helped me manage my mouth and my anger in ways that I know I could have never done on my own. But first, let me tell you a little bit about my background. Obviously, I'm a policeman. I'm also a husband, married to my wife, Carrie, for 15 years, and the father of five beautiful and very special children. I'm also known to Mr. Gary to some of your children who attend Sunday school here at Saddleback. I was raised by two very special parents and taught early about what's right and what's wrong. I was raised in a Catholic background and attended church regularly. As I grew up and married, my wife and I continued to attend church. But about 6 years ago, we first attended Saddlebath. From the first visit, we were immediately hooked by this church family. We began to grow in Christ and decided to make this our church home. At first, it was easy to get lost in the crowd amongst all the attenders, but we decided to get involved and not just be spectators. We attended class 101, 201, and felt a calling to help with the children's ministries. We have taught in Adventureland for 2.5 years now. I can see now that this ministry was another part of God's plan for me. It brings balance to my life. Working with the children, I find a sense of love that I don't find in situations that policemen encounter. It encourages me to see God working in the lives of children after dealing with people whose hearts are so angry. And I also feel the need to share God's word and to help these kids get started on the right track. If even for just one afternoon in their week, I hope that I can help prevent them from becoming what I see many adults become without God. It really is amazing to realize how many people often lose their tempers over the smallest issues. As a policeman, I'm often called to referee between two angry parties. It may be a simple civil dispute over a plant placed in the wrong side of a property line, or it may be a domestic violence situation call that has brewed for years. In either case, I'm expected to resolve the problem in minutes. When I can't resolve it immediately, what happens so often is that one or both parties turn on me as if I created the problem. Or I'm accused of taking sides or butting in to someone else's business. I have looked face to face with those responsible for crime and seen their lack of regard for life as sometimes they laugh about their crimes. I have listened as they angrily blame society, the police, and everyone else while their victims lay on the ground. As a policeman, you have to become used to people refocusing their anger on you instead of the real problem. The uniform is all they see. They don't understand that we're trying to help. It's in the daily frustrations like this that I know I have to maintain my self-control and my anger, or control of my anger, if I'm going to get the job done. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Rick talked about garbage in, garbage out. If we constantly expose our minds to all of the violence, illicit sex, and vulgar words that the media serves us daily, it is bound to affect our own attitudes and actions. What you see and hear all the time will affect you. Now place yourself as a policeman. Our job is to go out and deal with the worst elements of society on a daily basis. Policemen are eyewitnesses to drug addiction, prostitution, abuse, and all kinds of graphic violence. We continually have to listen to the vulgarities and profanity of very angry people who don't want to accept responsibility for their behavior. How do we control ourselves when faced with a potentially dangerous individual screaming at you? Well, sometimes we don't. Sometimes officers fall victim to the very thing that we are to guard against. Anger is very contagious, and officers are only humans too. But when one officer tarnishes the badge by using inappropriate anger, we all feel the burden. It's easy to fall into the trap of "it's not my fault" or placing the blame. Pastor Rick calls it the victim mentality, where you accuse others and excuse yourself. Some officers may turn to alcohol, nights out with the boys, or other things to relieve their stress. But I know many who turn to Jesus Christ, as I have. As an officer of 18 years, I have seen the realm. I do know that the vast majority of officers are good, honest people with all the right intentions. For me, the more I rely on Jesus Christ for strength, the more I see that He is with me. I'm not ashamed of my relationship to Christ, and I have shared my faith with other officers. I have also seen other officers witness as believers. And not just in the privacy of a hallway at work, but in an open forum. As a member of the SWAT team, we have come together in prayer before going into a highly volatile situation. Prayer is a great stress reliever and an antidote to anger. On my way to work, I like to pray. First, I ask God to watch over my family as I leave them to protect others. Then I ask for the strength to do my job with fairness and a Christian heart. I pray also that my fellow officers will be protected from harm and that they too rely on His strength for guidance. I pray for those who I will come in contact with, even those who will be shouting angry words at me. Finally, I pray for my pastors, that they shall have the strength to continue and that the Lord's words will flow from them, that we can all be guided. This past year, my faith and composure was tested as never before. One day, after a morning of getting things done around the house, soccer games at home, hugs, it was time to get off to work. As a motorcycle officer, I rode in, and as I regularly do, I prayed. One of the calls I had that day was a call for help from another officer handling a domestic violence situation. The suspect had fired shots in anger. The officer was able to get the wife and himself out of the house to safety as the suspect barricaded himself. I was called as part of a SWAT team. As negotiations continued and we prepared to handle the situation, I found myself praying. There in the middle of all that was going on around me, I stopped and prayed for strength to do my duty and to maintain self-control. And of course, I prayed that God would protect us all from harm. Hours later, when all other options had failed, it was time to go in and find the suspect. In total darkness, we searched room by room with flashlights and gas masks. This man was a dramatic example of the foolishness and uncontrolled anger. Here he was, full of anger and rage, unwilling to calm down, unwilling to admit he was wrong, and causing danger to everyone else as a result. While we continued the search in the dark, shots again rang out from the suspect's gun. Still hiding, he refused to come out. My thoughts were turning at warp speed, not with anger, but a sense of duty and a prayer for a safe resolution. As negotiations continued again, it became chillingly evident that he intended to fight to the end, hurting anyone else that he could. A moment later, the man used the opportunity of the darkness and a smoke-filled room to run into another room, immediately firing upon and wounding an officer. As the officer ran out bleeding from his wound, my partner and I were faced with a split-second decision to react. We entered the room, and I came face to face with a blind, uncontrolled anger. The man had his gun pointing right at us. In another split second, a gun battle ensued and was over. Only by God's grace am I here to talk about it. I distinctly remember not feeling anger toward this man, but realizing that this guy was a human being too. He was one of God's creations. Looking back, I know the reason that I am still alive today was because God is not finished with me yet. After the night was over and the long interviews that followed, it was time again to turn off the switch of police work and return home to my family. As in no other situation I've encountered, I sat my wife down and tried to explain the intensity of the situation and the feelings I had been confronted with and such destructive anger. We cried and gave thanks to the Lord for my safe return. So you see, it's not by chance that I'm here today. I know that God is using me to send a message. To those of you in law enforcement, the message is this: trust in the Lord to guide you and expect Him to give you self-control and strength. To those of you looking at the police with a watchful eye, I pray that you will see us not as someone to avoid, but as a peacemaker and someone who is here to help you. But most of all, I want to say that if you are struggling with anger or bitterness or resentment that keeps you from enjoying life, there is someone who can help. His name is Jesus Christ. He can give you the peace that passes all understanding if you trust Him with your life. Thank you.
I know Gary wouldn't tell you this, but Gary was the first man in 20 years to receive the Medal of Valor on the Santa Ana Force. God bless you. We're proud of you, buddy. God bless you. Now, since he stole my last point, we can all go home. All of these steps that we've talked about tonight are very helpful, but you know what? Unless you get a power beyond yourself, you can't do them. It's one thing to say, yeah, manage my mouth. Right. That's like telling Rick to watch what you eat. In and of yourself, you don't have enough willpower to manage this thing. In fact, the Bible says it's uncontrollable from simply a human standpoint. That's why when you get down to the seventh key, this is the one that ties it all together, and that is, request God's help. God says, I'll help you do these other six things. Resolve the control, realize the cost, restrain my mouth and reflect before reacting. He'll help you respond and return good for evil. He says, I will give you that power. There's a good verse here on your outline, Psalm 141, verse 3. Let's read it together. Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. That'd be a good memory verse for this week, too. Help me to control my tongue and help me to be careful about how I say. How does he help? How does God help us manage our mouth and control our anger? I'll tell you how he does it. By going right to the source, right to the root, right to the cause of all of it. Notice the next verse. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Jesus deals with the root cause, and he says that the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. It's not my mouth that gets me in trouble. It's my heart that gets me in trouble. It's not what I say. It's what I think that comes out. He says, whatever's inside of you is going to come out. Whatever is inside of you, if it's anger, when the world puts pressure on you, that's what's going to squeeze out all over. And if you're filled with irritation, when the world puts a squeeze on you like a toothpaste bottle, irritation's going to squeeze out. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Now, I know I've heard people say, and you've said this, I've said it. You know, you say something, you go, I don't know what got into me. I'm not that kind of person. It's not like me to say that. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. It wouldn't be coming out of your mouth if it wasn't in your heart first. You can't clean up the well by simply painting the pump. If the water's contaminated, you got to get to the source. And the source is not even my mouth. It's my mind. It's my heart. It's what I allow inside. And my mouth just betrays what I'm really like. Jesus explained the Freudian slip long before Freud knew there was a slip. He says it comes out of the inside. And my words explain or demonstrate my heart condition. What does that mean? It means that someone with a harsh tongue is demonstrating an angry heart. And somebody with a boastful mouth, they're always bragging, is demonstrating an insecure heart. And somebody with an over-talkative mouth is demonstrating an unsettled heart. And somebody with a critical word for everybody is demonstrating a bitter heart. And somebody who has a judgmental mouth, always putting everybody else down, is demonstrating their own guilty heart. And somebody with a boasting, filthy, impure heart is going to say boasting, filthy, impure things. On the other hand, if I have encouraging words for other people, it means I've got a happy heart. And if I've got gentle words for people when they're down, instead of kicking them, it shows I got a loving heart. And if I have kind words and comforting words for people, it shows I've got a heart at peace. Because what you say shows what you're like on the inside. Now, when God changes us, he doesn't just paint the pump. He gives us a new heart. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person inside. The old is gone, the new has come. David prayed like this. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. God specializes in heart transplants. And all the self-help books and tapes in the world can't do that. And all the therapy in the world can't give you a new heart. Only God can do that. It's called being born again. What's that? Reincarnation? No, it just means God gives you a new attitude. He changes your mind and he changes your heart. And all of a sudden, you know, you're not so angry anymore. Why? Because when Jesus deals with your anger, he deals with the root. And he comes and he says, you know, you're angry because you're insecure. Let me tell you how you can be secure. And he gives you his confidence and his power to replace your insecurity. And he gives you his love to replace your hurt, whether you've been abused or neglected or whatever. And he gives you his peace to replace your frustration. And when you say, God, I just can't control it, he says, that's okay, I can. Trust me. And the anger dissipates, and the peace that passes understanding, as Gary said, comes in. You know, when you pick up a crying baby, that baby's crying, so that baby may be mad, but when you pick the baby up and you comfort it, and that baby feels secure, the baby stops crying. And when you realize how secure you are in God's love, that he will never stop loving you, and that he has a plan for your life, and that he will help you with every issue in your life that you turn over to him. That's what Jesus Christ said he came to do. You can relax, and you don't have to be angry anymore. Let's bow our heads. Now, many of you tonight know that God's been talking directly to you on this. You may be a mute. You may be a martyr. You may be a maniac. You may be a skunk or a turtle. You may blow up or you may clam up. Maybe you're a pouter or a manipulator. Maybe you just hold it all in and let it turn to bitterness. God says, let me do a little heart surgery tonight. Would you give me your life and give me your heart, and I will take it and mold it into something new, and I will exchange your frustration, hurt, and fear for my power, peace, and love. Pray this prayer. In your mind, say, Jesus Christ, I need your power and your peace and your love in my life, and I need to stop trying to control it all, which makes me angry, and start letting you control it all so I can relax and trust in you. I want the peace of God to rule in my heart, and I want you to work in my life and in my mind, and I ask you to give me the power to take these practical steps starting tonight. Jesus Christ, I open my life to you and invite you to be number one in my heart. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
I just want to say thank you for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Have you ever felt like you don't have a purpose in life? I think we've all felt that way. Because when you don't know your purpose in life, well, you just kind of end up drifting and you get bounced around from one storm to another, and you're just not sure who you were meant to be. You wind up looking for meaning in so many of the wrong places and living by values that the world thinks are important, but they can never lead to the meaningful life that God desires for you. So, to help you discover your purpose-filled life, the life you were meant to live, Pastor Rick has created a transformational Bible study called Building Your Life on Values That Last. Because when you base your identity and decisions on the eternal values revealed in God's Word, well, everything just falls into place, and you can lead the life of true success and significance that you were meant to have. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And again, thanks so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope means so much to us because it helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.